Good morning. You're tuned to KHNS, Haynes, Skagway, and Clukwan. Thank you, Joni, for wonderful sound waves. It's 10:02, and time for Art Matters. This program is a production of KHNS. Its content does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the board of directors and staff of Lincoln L Broadcasting Incorporated, the licensee. And Art Matters is underwritten, brought to you by the Alaska Arts Confluence, aiming to inspire a culture of collaboration by supporting artists and the arts for residents and visitors of the Chilkat Valley, on Main Street in Haynes and online at alaskaartsconfluence.org. And in the studio today, we have Katie Craney and Heather Lendy to start us off with.
And Marley Horner.
And, of course, your faithful program director, Marley Horner, here with you for the next hour as we talk about arts and in the Upper Lynn Canal.
Right, and so today, obviously, it's another first Friday, October 4th. Like, what the heck happened to September?
Yeah, man.
Oh, my goodness. And
it's fall. It's here.
And we also have Fall Fest in Skagway.
Yes.
So that's all coming up, and we'll be discussing those things. And also, this weekend is Katie Craney's exhibit, Landfalls, dedication to Alaskan women writers and storytellers, and there's going to be an artist talk and author readings with some of the writers that are featured in the pieces, and so it'll be up the Sheldon Museum Friday for the opening. Is that correct?
And then it's actually been, the opening was September 20th,
mm-hmm.
and so it'll be up. It's a 6-week spotlight, so it opened on the 20th, and it'll be up through November 2nd.
So that's what I missed when I was away. Sorry, I've been gone.
Yeah, me
just
too.
Got back yesterday, I'm like, whew. I'm back in the land of cold weather again. It was hot on the East Coast, and I know that's another one of your topics discussing this strange climate thing that's going on with us.
That'll be
so,
a big part of
so,
it.
So Katie, why don't you introduce yourself just for some folks that might not know, and then tell us a little bit about this exhibit.
Well, my name is Katie Craney. I've been in Haynes, I guess, on and off for the last 5 years or so, the greater northern southeast for about 12 years. And I was actually just writing about this, that my very first exhibit in Alaska was at the Sheldon Museum. And under the push of Carol Tyneman, she's like, you should show your artwork. And I hadn't been making art since I graduated college. So there was like a 7-year gap in my creating from working for the Park Service and traveling and doing all kinds of things. And then we moved to Haynes and it was like, okay, it's time. I'm going to start doing this. So it's been really fun to get back into the Sheldon Museum with my work. This is the first time I'll be showing a 6-week spotlight since then, and that was 2015 was when I showed there the first time.
And then now, wait, before you keep going, so since then, 2015, you have had exhibits all over, right? I mean, what can you sort of, with, I know you might not want to toot your own horn, but just give us maybe 5 other places that stand out that were where you've exhibited your work since then.
Well, for solo shows, it has been in mostly Alaska, kind of different locations, the International Gallery of Contemporary Art in Anchorage, Alaska Pacific University in Anchorage, and those are 2 separate shows. And then the show that is here in Haynes has traveled as well around Alaska. It was in Fairbanks most recently at the Bear Gallery, at Pratt Museum in Homer, Soldotna. It was in Skagway for Northwoods Writers Symposium. So it's been fun to see where your work goes. Mm-hmm. You just never really know. And then I've also had some fun little group shows in internationally. Most recently, one was in Iceland. So that was really great to be a part of something so far away, but also something that feels so closely related because we're all in these northern places. Mm-hmm. And that was what the show was about. So
pretty neat. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun figuring it all out. So I suppose you want me to talk a little bit about the show that's here.
Yeah.
I guess I'll kind of retrace back to 2016 was when I read Becoming Earth by Eva Solitis, and I had such an emotional response to that book and didn't really know how to communicate what I was feeling, and so therefore I made a piece about it and kind of sat with it for a long time, thinking about it, thinking about her words, her work, And for those
and a little, yeah, a little bit about
Eva. So those who aren't familiar with Eva, that was the very first book I had read of hers. I didn't know of her prior to, and learned through the course of that book that she was, that was her final book before she passed away from breast cancer. And she had lived in Homer since the mid-80s and was a whale biologist, but a, also a poet, author.
Teacher.
She was kind of this incredible being that just poured her heart into what she did. And it reflected in this final book of hers, and just kind of coming to terms with how do you want to live your life before you die, knowing you're going to die. And there were some really hard questions in that book. And so trying to respond to it, like, we don't always have words. We don't always have the right things to say towards a situation like that. And I think it's really important to acknowledge there are multiple ways of communicating. And so I ended up making this art piece about it and sat with it for a few months before realizing, like, oh, I've had like this visceral experience before from reading someone else's work. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to tap into that a little bit more. And so I reread Ernestine Hayes's book, Blonde Indian, and the same kind of emotions were starting to be pulled out from words. And so I started this series, and it has become, I think there are 15 women. And I wanted to keep it as, a women writers and storytellers. And because I realized, like, those were the things I was reading and they were important, and why, I just wanted to pull out the whys. And so it ended up being, in total right now, there are 15 women with actually 19 pieces total. And some of the women are repeated. They have multiple books, so I've made a couple of pieces for them, or a poem, like Vivian Faith Prescott. I have two pieces for her for two of her poems. So it's been just this incredible journey.
Right, and for people that don't know, Vivian lives in Wrangell.
Yeah.
And is actually, her husband was a former police officer in Haines. Right. Howie Martindale is her husband, and he's now a physician's assistant in the Coast Guard.
Yeah. So, and what's wonderful about Vivian, I invited her to be here for the reading, and unfortunately, with the ferry system, it couldn't work for her to come. But I just wanted to mention that I've met, social media is such an interesting tool. And I think that's kind of how we connected initially. I actually met her first in Wrangell. We were traveling by boat, and we got in communication about a project we were working on, and she wanted to read her poems for us. So we met at Chief Shake's house in Wrangell, and we sat outside and she read her poetry. And it was just this beautiful way to meet someone. Like, you just arrive on a boat and you never really know what's going to happen. And we've since been in communication because of being connected socially on social media, and it's been really great. So I do have some of her work is printed out, and on a part of the exhibit, I should backtrack, a part of the exhibit, along with the artwork, are books and printed out stories and poems that are kind of at this little central pedestal, so to say, that we've called it the Landfalls Library. And Vivian has been really great in allowing me to print her poems and have them. And I also have one that I'll read maybe a little bit in a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
So now, as part of this exhibit, though, this is what's happening Saturday night, right? You've got some of the writers will be here. And what's that program, and when does it start, and where is it, and all of that?
Yeah.
I kind of know, because right. I'm one of the people that are in it.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be, like, too coy about that, but you're here to tell us more.
Right.
And I'd like to know a little more, too.
Sure, yeah. And I, like you, I've been traveling, and my brain is a little bit mush, but I've been working hard to kind of pull it all together of figuring out, like, okay, what exactly am I asking of the writers, right? This is this huge undertaking that not only did you say yes to come, but you're actually coming. And so on Saturday night, 6 p.m., there will be an artist talk. I will talk a bit about my process, as well as some things that have come out of this whole experience. And I have four guest authors that are joining. And I do have to say that that is in part thanks to a generous grant from the Alaska Humanities Forum and the National Endowment for the Humanities is why I'm able to pull all this off. So I've invited author Christine Bile, she lives in Healy, and Krista Christensen, she's from Fairbanks. Ernestine Hayes is coming from Juneau, and Heather will be there. And so I actually did something similar when I showed the work in Fairbanks. I also hosted an artist talk and author reading, and Christine and Krista joined me there as well. And we had Lorelei Ivanhoff was going to be a part of it as well, but she unfortunately became ill and couldn't make it.
She's a well-known writer and recipient of the Governor's Arts and Humanities Award from a young emerging author from Unicleet.
She was going
great
to
voice
come.
That
yes,
she has.
She is. She's so many important stories that everyone needs to hear. And she was going to come to Haines, but we just had conflicts
it's
and timing.
It's a long way from Unicleet to get here.
It's a long way. So I'm incredibly thankful that that everyone who is coming is able to make this work. I know it was not necessarily last minute, but there's always the last minute things that trying to pull something like this off. So fingers crossed the weather allows everyone to travel here safely. So I've asked each author to read kind of either what I was inspired by, like they could, there's a choice. Like if you want to read what I was inspired by, that would be wonderful. Or if you feel inspired to read something that kind of ties in or you feel should be heard or just a different way of telling a story of your work or something, I'm kind of leaving it open-ended.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have kind of a general idea what everybody will be reading. And then I'll also be reading, like I said, a few poems from Vivian. I'm going to include those in the reading as well. And then we'll have a little bit of discussion and question and answer, because I really want it to be something that people can take home with them, not just in physical form, but like how can we take these stories with us and how can that help us tell our own?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then the time, 6 to 8, roughly,
yeah,
is that what you're looking at?
Six
if people
to eight.
Are planning their evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then also maybe that every single one of the writers there are very different. And that's interesting to me, too. Christine Bile, I know, is my husband's a huge fan of her book. Dirt Work mm-hmm. is the name of her book that nationally acclaimed. She's a trail builder. All along the West Coast, and now lives in Healy outside of Denali, and has she builds trails, and works, with rocks and shovels, and she writes. She's a dreamy writer about this hard, dirty work,
mm-hmm.
and so she's very different than Ernestine Hayes, who's writing, memoirs about growing up, Tlingit in Juneau. And I don't know Krista Christensen, her writing, I'm not as familiar, so.
Yeah, well, I think what's been really interesting about this whole series is that we all have, or at least what I've extrapolated, it seems like we all have such an incredible love of place, and that can take many forms, and it takes many different histories and backgrounds, but I think what I was trying to get at the core was that we all love where we are, right? We're so fortunate we get to live in these places, and the women are from all over Alaska,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like we all share just that deep connection with the place we call home. And so yes, we all are all very different, but I think being able to tell that story helps us relate to one another and why we see things differently and feel things differently, but still at the end of the day, like I think there's just a lot of gratitude for being able to live in Alaska or just in this tiny village or wherever you are.
Yeah, the life, your lifestyle.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think that's true. I hadn't thought about that, that everybody, all the authors that you've honored, that's what they have in common.
Mm-hmm.
Vivian is certainly rooted in play. I mean, we all are. I am. I mean, this is it for me, and I think that's and we all write from that place. I mean, Eva certainly in Homer area. Well, that is going to be, it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to the interaction between the other writers and meeting them. I know Ernestine, but I haven't met the other two.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in that too.
Mm-hmm. And the dynamic of, yeah, of our energies
and what people choose to read and what we talk about.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's exciting. I'm really, I'm like, I have no idea what to expect. I'm just hoping that it will all turn out.
What happened when like you did it in Fairbanks? Was there anything that surprised you that came out of it?
Yeah, I actually have a little story about that. Kes Woodward was an attendant whom I met when I did the Denali Artist in Residence program. We connected with each other, and he's just such a warm, welcoming human. He's invited me to his home. I got a full tour of his studio. He had rhubarb crisp, like all the things that you would just like want to give and show someone if they came to your home. Like, I just immediately felt so welcomed. So he was there in attendance, and we all met for blueberry crisp afterwards. It's all about food, really. And we're all sitting around and it's kind of quiet. We're at Sarah Tabbert's house. She's an artist in Fairbanks, and she invited us all for this dessert. And he's looking around and he's like, well, I have to say that that was the darkest reading I've ever been to.
Wow. It was dark.
It's complicated. It's hard because I'm trying to pull out the hard truths of being human, right? Mm-hmm. Like we have the dark and the shadows and the dust and the things that are really hard to talk about. And so that's another piece of this series, is trying to pull out those moments of grief and know that people aren't alone, that we are all suffering in our own way. And it's okay to talk about it, and it's helpful to talk about it, and we can move forward together through it. And it was funny, Kes also said, he's like, I don't know if you've ever met Frank Seuss, but this is on par with him. Like, you should meet him. I was like, okay, I haven't met him yet. But I just thought it was really endearing that he at least was very honest about it. And
yeah, Frank Seuss is a writer from Fairbanks. I don't think he's that dark. He's a very tall, skinny Southern man. And I think he's kind of funny when he writes about his background and Southern stories, which I guess are darkish. But
that was the undertone of Kes's message.
When you meet Frank, it's hard. When he's reading, you don't think of him as dark because he's such a kind gentleman.
Right.
But he does kind of write, I guess, about some dark things. But that's what... Those are the stories, right?
Right.
that's where they are.
That's a part of being human, is mm-hmm. that it's not all flowers and sunshine. Like, definitely not. And that's part of why I decided to create this series in the first place, is that there's a lot of struggle and strife, and how can we help each other? And I think that's a lot of what you do, Heather, which we talked about before coming on air, is that as an obituary writer, you are pulling the beauty out of death. And I think that's an incredible talent and skill to have. And you're able to show that at the end of the day, like, we're all just doing our best, and sometimes other people might not agree with that, but I think at the end, that's sometimes the most important thing, is to tell the joy of being alive.
I think that's why it's important to have as many voices as possible telling stories, writing poems, writing novels, nonfiction, sharing it in a sort of like, here I am, this is my story, this is the way I see the world, and maybe that will help you understand yours or mine or all of us in it together.
Mm-hmm.
Without judgment, because so much of what we do, you know, when you're reading the paper or you're looking on social media, it's like, well, I agree or disagree, and it's like, we're not really asking for that, we're just putting it out there. This is one woman's experience, one man's experience with the world, and this is what I want to tell you that's important to me, and you can take that and think about it,
right?
Or throw it over your shoulder if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's to me, that's the real beauty in creative writing of any kind, and that's the same whether it's a poem or a story, or, you know, what K&S and Marley really do is music. You know, it's the same thing with a song, and that's a poem too. It's like, here it is. You don't have to agree with how a song turns out or what the story is to to hear it and have it move you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, who was it? Roger Rosenblatt is an essayist that I really like, and he talks about the whole, in his mind, when he's teaching writing students, he said the point of it is to move the human heart. And that's what he says, just move the human heart. There's not a right or wrong way to do that, but if you move the human heart, then you've done something.
Yeah.
And I think the women that you've shown do, but I also think your work, the visual representation, like you say, can speak where words can't. Because
mm-hmm.
I know I get caught sometimes when I'm working on something. I'm just like, there's just too many words in here, and they don't mean anything.
Right.
And I'm like tripping over the words, and you're trying to get rid of them, but then it seems to just get worse sometimes. And I find I do get stuck in the words. That maybe the way a painter gets stuck with too much color, you know, it just all goes brown.
If you
I don't know that if that's a good analogy or not, but it seems like it sometimes that there are things that words are not, at least my words aren't able to relate.
And I think that's the beauty of this blend of art as communication, and also to parallel with words, like they can help us realize something far beyond what we actually initially read or see. Like, we can take that home and let it sit with us for a while before maybe we even really fully understand what we just experienced. And I think that's kind of what happened with the initial piece in this series for Eva. I did want to read just a quick little sentence from her that I brought with me. I have two pieces for her, and the series started with a piece for her book, Becoming Earth, and actually the final piece I made for this series is from her book, Integrate Silence, a Memoir of Discovery and Loss Among Vanishing Orcas. And she actually wrote that book before Becoming Earth.
Right.
But I'm surprised in myself that it happened that way. Like, it wasn't intentional to start with her and end with her, but I also think that there's something really important to discuss. But one of the sentences I pulled out is, humans communicate in words, yes, but so much more comes through tone, accent, inflection, through the emotional force behind our words, not to mention our silences. And I think that's such a powerful statement, to just allow yourself to be okay not having the right word. Like, so often, I think we need to, or we're expected to, know exactly what we're saying before we say it, and sometimes we just don't have that in us, or we just haven't learned it yet, or we feel things differently, or we just by default communicate very differently. I know I struggled as a kid with finding the right words, and I still do, and I think therefore that's, as an artist, like, it's kind of my safe place that I know I can at least still say what I want to say, just in a very different form.
Well, you talk a lot about you know, the grief and pulling out the sorrow or the suffering or the harder things in life. And what you just said reminds me of something that we talk about in a hospice and hospice volunteering, you know, that you're, and also I find it when I'm working on an obituary, is that you're holding the space. Just being there and being attentive, you know, not reading a book or not on your phone, sitting with someone in their end days or in their grief, just showing up, it is often what's needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say better than speaking or not or whatever, it's not that, but that's another way of providing comfort. And we've all been in that situation where someone just sits down next to you and you feel better, or swims, you know, right alongside you in the swimming pool when they know you've had a bad day. No one's communicating in a traditional way, but it's like, oh, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm here if you need me, type of thing.
And that comfort is,
it's huge.
Overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that sometimes that's really all we're needing, and sometimes that's the most that's lacking, is just having like that presence of another human, knowing that at least they acknowledge your existence.
Yeah, and
right?
They're there, like with their
right.
whole heart.
Mm-hmm.
They're there and they're attentive, mm-hmm. just waiting or sitting with you.
Right.
You know, or going with you through whatever it is you are, non-verbally.
Right. And so another part of this series that I kept reoccurring as I was going through and realizing what I was reading, what I was interested in reading, and why is it coming from women, And there is this undertone of climate change in my work. That is, it's something I cannot not think about. It is there, it is present, it is active, and it's really hard to talk about. There's so many unknowns, and it's so nonlinear that our brain just can't keep up with it. Like, we're constantly hearing stories and projections, and some of the pieces are specifically about that in this show. And I wanted to bring up that women are kind of underserved in this. Like, the majority of people that are going to be directly affected by what's coming and what is already here are poorer communities, and a majority of them are women that are going to be affected. And how can we highlight this and talk about it and help each other and empower women and give them voice?
And it's also a completely Alaskan issue at this point.
Absolutely.
At least in the United States, it's obviously a global issue, but in terms of the United States of America, we're the place that's, it's affecting, we're warming up 10 times faster than anywhere else.
Yeah.
And we can all see it and we can feel it here.
Yeah.
And it's getting alarming.
Right. Yeah.
So it makes sense that women are speaking about it. But I think Marley's looking at me like, we've got to get going
because
we've got Jeff Brady next. And
well, actually, we're experiencing technical difficulties right now.
So we can keep talking. Is that what you're going to say?
Well, people are, we're streaming, right? So if you're
listening, so we're not on the air?